Hello and welcome to episode 22 of Meanal's World. It's Thursday night and I'm recording the introduction for this episode to be released tomorrow. My organization skills haven't been that great this week. I recorded the full interview with Tina last weekend. So I don't know why I've left it literally to the last minute, to the last hour to get the introduction done and the whole episode wrapped up. It has been a bit of a difficult week with Radhika because she's become so alert now that she's up almost all day. Naps are not really a thing anymore for her. She just seems to get really excited. She just wants to play. She just wants all that attention. It really is just an exhausting job and it takes so much out of you. I'm very lucky I have my parents here because, I mean, after a couple of hours of playing with her, I'm like, I'm done. I need like a Lucozade. I need a coffee. I'm just glad that I can actually get this episode out hopefully by Friday, because I did commit to this and I did say that every Friday I will release an episode. And I've also been quite good at getting my workouts done this week, probably because my parents are here, so I do have that help. But we're getting somewhere with a routine and we're getting somewhere with what I want to achieve. But I'd spoken to Tina with Desi Outsiders a few years ago, and at that time I was in a different phase of my life. I was, you know, always thinking about being a mother, pursuing motherhood, but now speaking to her as a mother was quite different because, you know, when Tina says raising three kids is tough, I mean, I completely understand. When she said that 4 years ago, I'm not saying I underestimated it, but you just don't understand unless you've got it on your plate. So raising three kids in a pandemic is not easy. Raising three kids who need to be homeschooled is not easy. And we spoke about how this has affected her. And Tina has spoken a lot about her anxiety and OCD and how that affects her day-to-day life. Tina was called Mom Boss of Three, but now she's rebranded herself as Tina Singh. And she's done that because she wants to be more than just a mother. And I completely understand, because I feel a bit lost as well in terms of my identity, because I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a daughter-in-law, I'm a daughter, and I wear so many different hats now that it's just sort of difficult to feel grounded. And when I wake up every morning, I have to play so many different roles. And just the role of motherhood in itself takes so much out of me. I feel like I have very little left to give to the other roles. So my conversation with Tina was really nice because, as I said, I'm speaking to her from a very different angle now as a mother. And just for those who have been tuning into my previous episodes, I spoke about my postpartum journey in episode 20, and I spoke about what it was like to go through these changes with my mother and our relationship. And I had a bit of a breakthrough this week, and that was that I am now just being open to breastfeeding in front of my father, because I just felt that if I'm going to be breastfeeding every single day for the next year or two, maybe, I mean, I don't know how long this journey will last, but I can't be going from one room to the next, going upstairs, downstairs, just to feed my child and sort of hide from everybody. I just felt really tired of doing that. So I just had a chat with my dad. I said, look, I mean, my mother breastfed us. So breastfeeding is completely normal. I mean, if you feel uncomfortable, I understand. But, you know, let me try and make it less awkward for you. And I'll put a cloth over, or, you know, I'll try and make those adjustments. And he was really cool about it. He's like, I don't even know why you're asking. I mean, you have to feed your child. Do what you need to do. And it's just one of those things that just seems so easy. And I just wish I'd done it before. But I'm just so glad that my father's on board and my mom's on board as well. Sorry about the yawn. It is 10 p.m. at night. So I just need to make sure that this episode is out. But I just thought I'd share that because I feel like on Instagram and social media, I've spoken about the tough times of breastfeeding and motherhood. There are also some wins, and those wins need to be shared as well. And I speak to Tina about these highs and lows of motherhood. I'm sure you'll really enjoy this episode because, again, Tina is very candid and very honest and very real and raw. with her story. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'm sure that as soon as you've listened to this episode, you'll go straight to her YouTube channel and you'll want to know so much more about her family. So welcome back, Tina. It's really nice to catch up with you again after, well, a couple of years.
Yeah, a lot of change.
Yeah, a lot has changed. And usually I like to have this pre-chat before the interview, but I didn't want to have that this time. I just wanted to just speak now and just hit record and see where it takes us. But as you said, a lot has changed over the last couple of years. And firstly, thank you for waking up early on a Saturday morning to do this with me.
That's okay. I've got like my own personal alarm clocks.
Okay. Are the kids awake now?
They are actually. They're up. As soon as we get out of bed, they're out of bed.
Yeah. And Tina, obviously, last time we spoke, I felt like we were in a completely different world. I can't remember life pre-COVID.
I know. I know.
It's like I'm trying to go back to even March, February this year. I can't even remember what life was like at that time. But before we get into anything, Tina, how have you survived the pandemic with three kids at home?
With difficulty. It hasn't been easy. I'm not going to sugarcoat it too much. It hasn't been easy. But in those moments when it feels really difficult, I like to remind myself of the moments that came out of it that we wouldn't have had otherwise. So this summer, so here in Ontario, in Canada, we have the summers off. I know your schooling system there is a little bit different, but we usually have the months of July and August for holiday. Mm-hmm. And this year, because there were so few places that we could actually go, we did a lot more things in nature, which is not usually my thing, but I've grown to really love. So a lot more hiking, a lot more time together, learning to canoe. So there's been some like really great moments that have come out of it. And I try to focus on the good moments.
Yeah. But when were your kids at home the whole time, or were they going to school? Or
so they've been home since March. Yeah, since March.
Wow. So the thing is, I mean, as adults, we understand cabin fever, and we understand that, okay, things are getting too much, just take a break, get some fresh air. But how did you manage to explain to your kids what was actually going on, especially your youngest, Ajit? I think is he five now? Or
he's five, yeah.
He's five, yeah. So how did you explain what was going on to your kids?
So I think my middle son, Kabir, and my youngest son, Ajit, they don't actually mind being home, so they didn't really miss school too much.
Yeah.
Explaining it to them, I sort of talked about, honestly, I just used the words, and I think that their teachers explained a little bit to them as well, because by the time I got to talking to them, once they're already home, they seemed to understand that we need to wear masks or understand this concept of germs. Mm. It's been a really interesting thing, though, to see how they handle their world being completely changed. And I just use the words and say, we can't do this right now. They want to go to a trampoline park. I say, it's closed right now because of COVID and germs. If we have to see people, we have to wear a mask. Honestly, I think I'm taking a more practical approach to it. Like, we're doing this now, and this is how we have to do it right now. And sometimes they forget. You know, we get to the park and they see some kids and they're like getting too close to them. But
And does that bring you any sort of anxiety when you take your kids outside? Because, I mean, I have a newborn at home. She'll turn 9 weeks in a couple of days, and I have to take her outside to get some fresh air as well. She needs to be exposed to, you know, to new things as well and be stimulated. And when I do take her out, I have this anxiety in the back of my head that I hope, you know, that she's not exposed to anything. But you have to try and find that balance at some point, right?
Mm-hmm. So we went many months without doing anything. And I think of the people I know, I was on the much more, I would say, strict end of it. Mm. Like, I was very careful. We didn't order takeaways. We didn't do any of that because we were worried. Whether that's foolish or not is a different story. Like, if we went over the top. But for us, I think finding that balance has been hard because I already suffer from anxiety before COVID started. So, you know, finding a balance between keeping my kids safe and just doing what's good for their physical and mental health has been a real challenge. And so the first couple of times we took them to the park, there was no other kids there. But then slowly, as schools are starting here and kids are having an option to go back and my kids are staying home, I have let them play with their friends at a distance because it's outdoors and no mask. And at some times I felt like, am I making a mistake? But honestly, I have to overcome that anxiety because I cannot keep them in a bubble forever. So it's been a really hard balance.
And what's it been like with your husband as well? Because has it just been you at home with your kids, or has your husband been around as well?
So he's been working from home since March also.
Yeah.
He will probably be home until at least next year. So the transition back into his office, I don't know what that's going to look like. So it's been interesting because the office I'm sitting in right now, which is like right off our kitchen, is where he usually is. And trying to get the kids to like not go in there and bother him in the middle of his meetings has been a challenge. So parenting has been difficult in that respect because they're bored, right? You know, online schooling is starting next week, but until now it's been me trying to teach them. And truthfully, the last 2 months of the summer, after, you know, homeschooling them from March until June, I was done. And I was like, you guys can play, you can watch TV. Like, I don't really care because I need to prepare myself for the fact that this may be online schooling come September. And so one of the biggest challenges of, you know, my husband working from home is just trying to get the kids not to sort of interfere with that. And they have gotten much better with it. And they're doing okay. I think one of the positives of him being home is they're seeing him more, even for those couple of minutes throughout the day when he steps out, has lunch, he joins us for dinner, you know, most days. And so that's something he normally wasn't able to do before. So
Tina, you spoke about anxiety just a couple of minutes ago, and you've been very open about mental health issues, and you speak about it quite a lot on social media. I started to experience some form of anxiety, especially after Radhika was born. I think it's probably part of the whole new mother anxiety, you know. You want to protect your child, you don't want to do anything wrong, you want to make sure that they're completely safe. But what was there a turning point for you where you said, okay, or a doctor said, okay, Tina, you have anxiety, or is it something you have had sort of in the background for a long time?
So I think I've had it in the background for a really long time. I think my background in education includes mental health and includes, you know, healthcare. So for me, I think I always knew it, and I think I've suffered from anxiety since I was a child. But I'm one of those people who's like a high functioning person with anxiety, right? So it doesn't really affect my productivity. Now, I've been open about it because I feel like many people are scared to be open about it, or many people don't acknowledge that they suffer from anxiety. And I think anxiety as a parent is a whole different type of anxiety than other anxiety I've had in my life. And surprisingly, I will say that after my children were born, anxiety, OCD, all those things that I've sort of struggled with in the past were actually less. Like every time I had a newborn, I actually did better. I think because I spent so much more of my time focused on something specific rather than dealing with so many things at once. I don't know what it was, but I did okay after all my kids were born. So I was one of those people that was kind of, you know, I spoke to the nurses and stuff before I gave birth and sort of said, like, you know, this is an issue I faced. I'm very open about it. And so they would always have a conversation with my husband. They would phone and follow up, you know, a social worker would call and follow up to see how things were going. And I always managed, I think, pretty well after all my kids were born. But anxiety as a parent now in the time of COVID is a very, very different thing because it's so much that you cannot control. So it's a different type of anxiety.
Yeah. And when you're experiencing this anxiety, how has it been to speak up about it to your husband or to your relatives?
I think I mostly speak to my husband about it. Like, I don't know that I share this with or friends. I don't know if I talk to other family about it, but for me, I often just tell him I'm feeling overwhelmed. I need some time alone, or I need a break, because usually that's what it is for me. The anxiety is just so built up that I feel having anxiety is exhausting, right? It's a lot on your body physically and mentally. And sometimes it makes you tired. It brings out all these physical things that make you feel overwhelmed and exhausted. And so I often tell him that. And, you know, he really understands that. And sitting behind two closed doors in an office, he's got these glass windows. He sees it. hears it. If the kids aren't listening, he'll hear me telling them. So he knows sort of the challenges or the stress or the level of alertness that you need to watch kids all day.
Yeah.
Engagement.
Well, Tina, you have a platform where your family is sort of on the internet, basically. You know, you vlog and you make these videos and you're quite open about a lot of things that you've personally gone through. Does being on the internet in this day and age with young kids bring any sort of anxiety with it, especially when you read comments or when people talk about what you're doing on YouTube, especially? Mm-hmm.
So I think it used to. I used to have more anxiety when people would leave comments about maybe the way I was parenting, the way I run my household, the way...
But Tina, what would people say? Because I'm curious to know, because your videos are, for me at least, they're just like, well, you're having a great time with your family and you're just showing what it's like day to day with three kids and everything seems completely normal. Mm-hmm. What are people actually saying about your house or your parenting skills? Because they must have a lot of time on their hands to analyze.
Okay, so if you want to hear it, I've got lots. So one comment or one type of comment that I often get is that I'm like a glorified housewife and that I don't, that my husband pays for everything and that I just married him so I could stay home and do nothing.
And are men saying lazy. That? Are those male comments?
I mean, if I think that the YouTube profile is real, then it's women. It's always women.
Really?
Yeah. It's always women and saying, you know, the least you could do is at least look nice or dress up for your husband or do something because he's been at working all day and you've been sitting home doing nothing and being lazy. So I get a lot of that kind of comment. And honestly, like for anyone who thinks being home with three kids or raising three kids is easy, I'm sorry, you don't have kids. First of all. So I get that kind of comment a lot. And that really used to bother me in the beginning. And people used to be like, well, I bet he's cheating on you. I bet it's because you're all like, so people are really, really nasty on YouTube, not just YouTube, but on Instagram as well. People are really nasty like that. But those are few and far between. I have very positive comments normally.
Yeah.
But there's that type of comment. There's comments just about like, it's all in that area. Like, how come you didn't have time to clean up? You sit home all day. Or how could you have gained 10 pounds? You could have been working out the whole time. You're so lazy. And you just, so like, it's just very like,
wow,
superficial type comments, right? Like, you clearly don't do anything all day. Or, you know, they don't like the way they, honestly, I think people think I have it too easy. That's what it is. People seem to think I have it too easy and they're upset about their own life.
You just wonder, like, what kind of place are these people in their lives for them to actually go on YouTube, watch a video, or maybe they don't even watch it, Tina. They're probably just venting out and doing that. But I'm really surprised that you said that it's mainly women.
That's what it seems like. I mean, there are men as well at times, but it's mostly women.
That's crazy. But you know, so Tina, last time we spoke on Dirty Outside is obviously I spoke to you about your life pre-marriage and all of that. But just to give our listeners a bit of a hint, why did you start Mom Boss of Three? And now you've changed your name. We'll go into that as well.
Yeah.
But what made you want to start this YouTube channel and show the world your life with kids and not just the happy times, but also the tough times as well?
So I originally started my channel as a way to document my kids' childhood. I started when Ajith was 3 months old. So I had three kids under 3.5 when I started. And I mean, here we are, my oldest is 8 now. But I started as a way to document my kids' childhood. Like when I look back, there's hardly any pictures I have. I'm more of a enjoy the moment kind of person versus a take all the pictures person.
Yeah.
And so I want to be able to document that and just, you know, follow the journey of being a parent. I'm sorry, all my kids are up now. They're all being
loud. No, it's okay. I heard that, Tina, but it's all right.
Okay, hold on. Kabir, I'm on a podcast. You can't come in here. Ajith went that way to the front. Okay, so, sorry about that.
That's okay.
I started just for that, to document my childhood, my kids' childhood. And then as I became, you know, more and more sort of invested in the channel and getting to know more and more people and connecting with people, I realized that people really, so like really connected with that, you know, very normal life and real life that I was showing on YouTube. And that's what I always strive for. I never try to make my life seem, you know, like this perfect, ideal, because I think that's the ugly side of social media that makes people feel like they're not good enough and what they have and how they live is not good enough. You know, so I never wanted to be that. And so as I started connecting with more and more women, mostly, I started to feel like, you know, me being here, me not only representing a real version of motherhood and life, but also representing, you know, my kids as, you know, identifiable sick children and a sick family where, you know, my kids keep their hair and so does my husband. And it's important. Representation matters. So there became a lot of reasons later on that I continued.
But how has the space changed now compared to all those years back? Because the internet in itself is a whole different place now. Even for podcasts as well. When I started this 4 years ago, I felt it was a whole different space, a whole different game. And now we have lots of mothers on the internet who share their stories and who share their life behind camera as well. And do you feel the space is quite supportive?
I feel the space from other creators is very supportive. Yes. Yeah. Other creators are supportive. I think that's in our nature because we put ourselves out there. And when you see someone doing the same, I think it's like an unspoken thing. Like I try to be supportive of all the moms sort of sharing their content online because it's not an easy thing to do. The space I think has actually become more supportive. I think the space has become a little bit more diverse and a little bit more inclusive. Mm. We've got ways to go for that. But I think we are doing better. Yeah. And I think that people are more open to diversity than they have been in the last 4 years.
Yeah. And Tina, why have you changed your brand now? So you were Mom Boss of Three initially, and you did mention on Instagram that you've been thinking about it for a long time to change your name on social media. So what brought that about? Because you mentioned something about advertisers, I think something along those lines. So what was, if you're okay to speak about it, of course.
Yeah. So basically, my original channel started off as Neurotic Mom Diaries. That was my very first name on YouTube.
That's true.
The Neurotic Mom Diaries. and I loved that name. And that name was just too long for Instagram. Yeah. And so I changed it and I was like, I'll be Mom Boss of Three. So it's kind of on a whim, but I like that name. Mm. And I was that way for like, you know, almost 4 years. And the last 2 years or so, I've been thinking about it and sort of thinking about how, you know, my kids, I mean, if it wasn't COVID, all three of my kids would be in school right now. Last September was the first year that all three of my kids were in school. And I started realizing that, you know, by only focusing on motherhood, I'm sort of, you know, not looking at all the sides of me. I'm not sharing everything else that I am because I am more than a mother. And now I have spent the last 9 years knee deep in parenting for sure. Yeah. But there are other sides to me and I have to come to terms with the fact that my kids might not always want to be in the content. They haven't said that yet, but there are times when, you know, I'm taking a picture or doing something, they're like, I don't want to be in this. And you have to respect that because social media and the internet is a forever thing. You can't just post things and expect that they're going to disappear. Yeah. It's for life. They're going to grow up and their stuff's going to be on the internet. And so they're kind of getting to that age where I have to reinforce to them that they have a choice. So that's another thing. So I don't know how much my kids are going to want to be in the content. And so does it make sense to continue to call myself Mom Boss of Three? The other thing, and you know, I think it was mainly about me, about having more space for myself.
And are you planning to create more content outside of motherhood now?
Well, I think I talk about a lot of things on my channel. I think I've always talked about a lot of different things on my channel. It hasn't always been motherhood, but I just want it more reflected in the name now. So I talk about, you know, I talk a lot about marriage. I talk a lot about, you know, how I grew up. I talk a lot about just like my life's journey. And there's a lot of my life's journey that didn't have motherhood. Like, yes, the last 8-9 years has been mostly motherhood. But even in these 8-9 years, there's been other sides to my journey. And I just... I think I discredit myself if I only call myself a mother, because I know that I'm more than that. And I think it takes a while after getting through like the young ages of parenting where you start to remember that again.
You start to remember you're your own human as well.
Yes.
Because even right now with Radhika, sometimes I sit down, I just forget who I am. I forget I'm a doctor sometimes, Tina, because my husband comes back from work. I'm like, oh yeah, I used to do that.
Yeah.
So I can imagine, to spend, with three kids as well, I can imagine how much time and how much of yourself you've invested into motherhood. And I'm sure it will carry on. But do you ever feel like you want to I wouldn't say step away from it, but do you ever have this feeling in your head that, I just wish I could do something else or just bring that part of me that was me before motherhood back? If that makes sense.
Into my content, you mean?
No, just into your life as an individual, because obviously before motherhood, I'm sure there were different aspects to you. There were different things that you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there may have been things that you may have had to sacrifice or may have had to change. And do you miss any of those things?
I always feel like, oh, it was easier before I had kids. And there was like always these times where I felt like I couldn't do stuff because I thought I didn't have time. And now I want to kick myself because I don't know what I was doing. But when you ask me like that, honestly, I don't know if there's like, I miss being able to see my friends as often as I would like. My two best friends now also have young kids. So, I mean, they each have one child and their kids are like 3-4 years old. So they're younger than mine. So I miss seeing my friends whenever I want. I think that's it. And I think, before, if you had asked me this like 2 years ago, I would have said I missed a lot of free time. And now COVID is a unique situation, of course. But when my kids, all three of them were in school, I felt like I finally got a part of me back, because I had and those hours go fast, believe me, like when you're working and you're trying to like, throw together a meal or whatever, those hours go really fast. But while my kids are in school, honestly, I feel like if we could get back to that, I feel like other than the stress and the, kind of the organization and like sort of planning it takes to have three kids, I don't know. I think I have it pretty good. Like, I think if I had a couple of hours a day with my kids in school, I don't think I'm missing anything now. Like, if I really think about it, and I didn't feel like that before. Before, I felt like I was missing a lot. I felt like I was missing time with my friends. I felt like I was missing, getting back to a career that I love. But now I feel like I love what I do now. And so now I don't feel like I'm missing anything. So it will get better. Like, if you feel like you're missing work, I'm going to work.
I'm not missing work, Tina. What I do miss is the social interaction. A big part of my job was speaking to people. And, one of the reasons I started the podcast as well is because I love listening to people's stories. I love listening to people about their life and having a new perspective on life, because it allows me to sort of zoom out from my own life, my own problems, and then have a bit of a clear headspace. And this is what I loved about going to work, was especially working with cancer patients. You just hear so many incredible stories every day, and you see so many different people, and you learn so much about resilience and strength, and to go from that to just nappy changing, cleaning bottles, breastfeeding, it's a whole different world, and it's a whole different challenge in itself, of course. But I wouldn't say I miss work. I would just say that I do miss social interaction, which has become more difficult now with COVID, of course.
Yeah.
So I don't know when things will go back to normal, but when they do, I just hope that I get some element of that back.
You know what? Right when we started, I want to interrupt here. Right when we started and you said that, the sleep deprivation has been hard, but you're saying it's going to get easier. This is one of the things that's gotten easier. And honestly, I think I didn't really even think about it in a long time till you asked me about what is it I miss. And now I actually feel really great, because I'm like, oh, all I kind of miss is like the interaction with my friends. And that's kind of a COVID thing. That's not really like a life thing. And motherhood is busy. Whether you have one kid, whether you have 10 kids, honestly, it's a lot of work. And just that free time from responsibility, like that's something I miss a little bit.
Yeah.
But it does get easier, and you will sort of find your balance again. It'll be different.
The thing is, in 9 weeks, I am seeing a difference. Now that I look back to day one or day 10 with Radhika, it was tough. It was really difficult. But the thing is, things are going by so quickly. Every day is such a, race against time. You actually forget, you can't actually realize that things are getting easier, if you know what I mean. I'm sure that it's the same with you. You know, after 8-9 years, it's gone by probably so quickly, you haven't even had a chance to just absorb what's happened and say, actually, 9 years ago, things were quite difficult to deal with. But now we're, you know, we're breezing through it.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say we're breezing through anything, but I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, things get easier. Some parts of parenting get easier, some get harder. And I got to tell you, like, at 9 weeks, the fact that you're even recording this podcast, like, give yourself, like, all kinds of high fives, because I would not have been 9 weeks into anything.
Well, this is the only thing that's bringing me some sort of sanity, Tina, even just talking to you. I mean, I don't care if this podcast gets one view or one listen. I'm just glad I can have this conversation with you. But, you know, Tina, just going back to COVID and kids being at home, I guess kids were being taught everything online, right?
So here it was kind of an unplanned thing when it happened in March. What happened is the NBA announced that they were shutting down the season, right? And that was what triggered everything here in Canada. Like, before the NBA, like, the NBA is like the unsung hero of this. Yeah. So there was no talk of closing anything. The NBA then closed their season. And that's the moment, like, my husband and I looked at each other like, oh my God.
It's just getting real now.
Yeah. That was the moment. And we're like, oh God. So basketball changed everything. But yeah, like, it was like 2-3 days later that the school board announced that we'll be closing. We have a break here in March. It's called the March break, like spring break for 1 week for kids. And they said they were extending it by 2 weeks. And in my head, I was like, there's no way that they think they're keeping kids home for 3 weeks and then going back.
So you thought 3 weeks was too long?
No, I thought it's impossible to send them back after 3 weeks. Oh, I thought there's no way, because I knew. I was like, if you are trying to tell parents to, like, you're giving kids 2 extra weeks after March break, so 3 weeks total, but you have not closed the borders, you have not canceled flights, you haven't done anything, how are you going to control this? That was my mind. And that, here we are, September, and we're still at home. So what they were doing at that time was, for a couple of weeks, the teachers were just sending emails saying, oh, if you can, try to get your kids to focus on this. Like, don't worry about it. It's a unique time. They're trying to be very supportive of the parents who were kind of just thrown in this situation. At the same time, many workplaces had closed. Eventually, by about April, I think, they started some online initiative, which would be like work we used to get online for the kids. So they would do it like on their own, independent learning. Of course, parents had to help with it for the younger kids. I had to help all my kids. And thankfully, I was able to do that. A lot of parents couldn't or were working from home. And then it was like 1 hour, sometimes like toward the end of the year, that it was 1 hour once a week where you would have FaceTime with your teacher and your peers. And they usually did something fun. They brought learning into it. Now, starting Monday, actually, we're supposed to be this week, there's delays there as well, we're doing an online system where it's like 5 hours a day, and it's online. So it's going to be, for the older kids, I think 3 hours and 45 minutes online and an hour and a half independent learning. And for the younger ones, 3 hours online and, you know, an hour and a bit. So it's 5 hours a day of online schooling, which no kid is going to be independent with unless they're a teen. So it's going to be a lot for parents right now.
Yeah, yeah. And as a parent, are you worried that your kids are missing out on, you know, their social interactions and their fresh air? Because going to school isn't just about learning math and English and science. Yeah. It's also about the interactions with other kids. And do you feel worried about that? Or do you see any changes in your kids over the last few months?
Yeah, so I think my kids are a lot more frustrated. My oldest one more so, because I think he's a little bit more independent than I'd say my other kids. And so he's missing his friends. I noticed that even just, you know, getting him on the phone with friends, FaceTime with friends makes a huge difference. That's why when I've seen some of his friends at the park, he's 8, he's old enough, he knows he has to keep a distance. If they're playing Frisbee or soccer, then I'll be like, you know, step back. Even if he's not wearing a mask, just stay back and you can play, because I know that he can handle that. But I've had to make that compromise. If you just asked me, I would keep my kids in a bubble, but I know that it's not okay for them. So, you know, it's those compromises I had to make where I just sort of have to deal with the anxiety, because I know what's better for my kids. And I know they're missing it. He's the one who wants to go to school, the older one. So I know that they're missing it, and I'm trying to provide like incentives as to what's happening in the house. And so, you know, I got the kids new laptops. I was like, you know, this will be something exciting for back to school. But yes, I'm very worried about it. Thankfully, we have my husband's brother and wife, and they have 3 boys, like pretty much the same ages as mine, and they live very close to us. And they are also not sending their kids to school. So they have another bubble that they can see. Which has made it easier. But yeah, their friends, they're definitely missing.
Yeah.
It's been hard for them.
Well, I really hope things get back to normal. Well, I mean, we just don't know what's going to happen, really. Especially, I don't know what it's like in Canada so much, but I know in the UK, they're talking about second lockdown.
But they sent everyone back to school, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't a choice. Like, they sent everyone, because I have some family in England, and they told me, yeah, their kids started school and they didn't have a choice. I have a choice. Some people did send their kids back to school, but it's not really a real choice for a lot of people who have a job where they can't do it from home. I'm like, that's not a choice.
Because that's the thing, Tina. You know, a lot of people had to think about childcare. A lot of people had had to go back to work. They didn't have a choice even to go back to work or not. So some people have really been put in a very difficult situation. And to think even that we might go into second lockdown and to have to go through all of this all over again is a very sort of difficult thing for me to imagine, because there was always that hope during the pandemic, things will go back to normal, right? That was the last, that was a very thin string of hope we were all hanging on to. So I can imagine how scary it must be for a lot of people to have to think to, you know, that this is going to go on for a long time. But Tina, you know, not only were we dealing with COVID during the pandemic, we saw big things happening in the world. You know, we saw big movements like the Black Lives Matter movement, and we saw how, you know, a lot of people put in that conscious effort to educate themselves around these social issues. As a mother, how have you explained this to your kids? Because I'm sure they've come across it in some form or another, whether it's on TV or with their friends or on social media. How have you explained what's really happening to your kids?
So, you know, when it comes in particular to the Black Lives Matter, you know, movement, I think it's been happening for a long time. But when sort of like those big moments happened, I tried to use it as a teachable moment. Like, once I had a chance to sort of process and think about it, like not on a whim, like something didn't happen and I just like all of a sudden told them what was happening. I had to think about it. So, you know, I tried to use it as an opportunity to talk about our faith and talk about what it means to be a Sikh. So I, you know, talked to them about what happened, and I talked to them about how, as a Sikh person, we believe in equality and we believe in helping others. And so when those around us, like, you know, our Black neighbors and the Black people in our community are facing these injustices, that we should be standing up with them and that we should be supporting this cause. And I kind of tied it back to that, because those are the tenets that we want them to learn. Those are the tenets of their religion that we really want them to have, right? Community service, standing up for injustices. That's what I want them to learn. And so we sort of took those points and sort of used it to explain what was happening and what our role should be and how we should be supporting people, because what's happening is wrong. It made the conversation easier. It made the conversation something that they could relate to, and it came hand in hand with an action item for them. As if you see this happening, this is what we do about it. This is how we stand up for people who are being treated unjustly in our communities. So it was a teachable moment for us, for sure.
Yeah. I think this last few months has been a big sort of shift in a lot of our thinking with our roles as South Asians and how we can help other movements from other societies and other communities. Although it's a shame it had to happen this way, I'm just glad that we've had that big sort of, you know, wake up call. Because even now, as a young mother, I think a new mother, especially, how would I teach Radhika about all of these issues? Because, you know, there will be some part of her brain saying, but it doesn't affect me directly. So, you know, to explain that to your kids, that you still have a role, regardless whether it's affecting you or not, you know, you play a part in society. So, Tina, I would love to carry on, but we are hitting that mark as well where the podcast will go on for too long. But and my newborn is also crying, so I need to I need to head back to her. But it was really lovely catching up with you, Tina. And I'm really glad to hear that you're still getting on with, you know, your YouTube and your content creating, because I can see that you really just want to create a space for new mothers or for mothers in general, and you know, to create that community and bubble where we're all sort of in it together. It's really, really nice to talk to you and to know you as well. So thank you for everything that you do.
No, thank you for having me on the podcast. And I can't believe, like I said, you know, high fives to you. You have a 9 week old and it's like you're in a completely different world than you were when the last time that we spoke, and you seem to be handling it wonderfully. So give yourself credit for that. It's not easy to have a 9 week old.
Tina, when I'm on the floor crying, I'll message you. Then you'll be like, okay, Mina is struggling.
Think of me. You know, you think of me and think that I'm telling you that you're doing a really good job.
Oh, thank you, Tina. That's really sweet of you. And who knows? Maybe I'll have you again very soon. Maybe when Radhika's old enough, maybe Radhika will take over the podcast and then she'll interview you at some point. Yeah. But thank you again, Tina, and have a lovely weekend and we'll catch up soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye. And thank you, dear listeners, for tuning into my episode with Tina. I have to say that afternoon, Radhika was quite hungry. And as I was recording, I could hear her cry downstairs. But it was just one of those things where as a mother, you start to sort of get that 360 view all over. And you know that what's happening in every corner of your house. And I knew that she was crying, but I had to get this episode done because of time differences between here and Canada. And Tina was so kind to be up early on a weekend to speak to me. So thank you, Tina. Thank you for joining me on the podcast. And thank you for giving me your time. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in as well. I am receiving so many emails of support and I cannot thank you enough, especially after Desi Outsiders. And I think very soon I'm going to share what actually happened with that podcast and why things changed and why I'm here now doing this. I think it's an important part of my journey and I want to be as honest as I can with everybody because being honest is my process of understanding what's happening and it's my process of healing as well. So I hope I can share that with you guys very soon. If you have any guests that you'd like me to interview, please let me know because I've received so many suggestions and when I've researched these people, their stories are really incredible. And I'd love to meet new people and speak to new people. So you can drop me an email to meanalsworldpodcast@gmail.com and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at meanalsworld. And of course, this podcast is available on all platforms and on iTunes as well. If you can leave a review, that will really help me a lot. And please share with your friends and family. And we have lots of exciting stuff coming up with Meanals World and I can't wait to share it with you. Just even this morning, I was shooting a long video with another guest of mine and I'm just so excited. but I'll see you all next week and I hope you all enjoy this episode.